Zarowski from the injured list after he'd missed the last couple of weeks with a left leg contusion.
Through August the 19th, these amazing deals are going on at South's Finest Meats, including one dozen of Grade A Extra Large Eggs, $3.38. Crinkle Cut Fries, which is a 5-pound bag, $6.96. 30 count of Southern Style Pillsbury Biscuits at $9.49. And a 14 count of Corn Dogs, $8.45. They also have great deals on chicken, pork, seafood, Ziegler products, and of course, beef. You can find them at 3201 10th Avenue right there in Tuscaloosa. Go by there today and check out all of their specials that run through August the 19th. Guys, can you believe it? The Missouri Tigers are coming off back-to-back 10-win seasons in Columbia, Missouri, and Eli Drinkwitz is entering his sixth season at Missouri. They went 10-3 last year with a record of 5-3 in conference. Brady Cook and Luther Burden have now moved on to the NFL. How will they do in 2025? We will be discussing that on this edition of the Stingray Show, because this is the Missouri Preview Show right here on the Stingray Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate
that. No, I mean, it's look.
Hey, Stingray, here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. And let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby.
And with that, I want to welcome you inside another edition of the Stingray Show. And Heath, how are you doing, my friend?
Man, done got my yard mowed, got things looking good for the weekend. And it has been a super busy week. Hasn't been a bad week, but just an insanely busy week. And it's going to be a busy weekend for me, too. But I got my yard looking nice.
Heath, I have a trivia question for you to start off the Stingray Show. Can you tell me what Gunsmoke, Lassie, The Simpsons, and the Stingray Show all have in common?
I never pay attention to them. I don't know. Well, all right. You said Gunsmoke that was on like air for like 19 years, 21 years, something like that. Lassie. What was the other one?
The Simpsons.
And The Simpsons. Along with The Stingray Show. You got me on that one, Stephen.
All four have aired 600 episodes. We are on episode 600 on the radio tonight.
Get out.
Now,
did we have rented tuxedos for this, or at least ordered a tuxedo shirt off Amazon?
We began the first Stingray Show Monday night, March the 3rd of 2022. And here, August the 15th of 25, we hit number 600.
Man, I just thought it was like, man, I got too many kids. I can't remember anything. I used to remember everything before kids. I can't remember Jack Diddley Poo Squat since I had kids. But I wanted to say that I thought we celebrated 365, like, I don't know, back in the winter, but obviously not.
Episode 600, man.
Wow. So I was like, wow, 365 episodes. Good for us. That's 1 year. 600.
Yes.
Yikes.
And that does not include about the 121 episodes that we did when we were an internet show going from COVID the year 2020 through, I believe, 2021.
How many shows did we do before we went on the radio?
Around 121, I think.
Wow. So
yes.
So we're over 720. Yeah.
But I'm only counting the ones on the radio. So that one is 600.
Wow.
Yep.
That's impressive.
Very wow. Impressive. And for us to move up where we were is impressive, because when we started out on the radio in 2022, we had the 9 to 10 time slot, and then on Thursday nights, and then we had one on Saturday from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. So Thursday nights at 9 p.m. is not a good time slot. And here we are, Heath, every day of the week at 6 p.m.
Wow. Good for us. So Did not know. 600.
And Heath, we have moved up the ladder incredibly over our time here on the radio at Tide 100.9. And our next step, and this is a goal of mine, over the next 50 to 100 episodes, I want to be a syndicated show in at least another state at least another station. So that is my goal moving forward, because with our format of being an SEC show, I think we could be a syndicated show all around the region.
Yeah, that would be fun. We were a syndicated show a couple of seasons back.
Yeah.
And we had fun with that. And
but we were in an SEC market, though. We were in the Sun Belt down in Hattiesburg, so that did not work out.
Yeah, but there's still a lot of SEC fans right. In the Sun Belt, because yeah. All the Sun Belt states are SEC states. So
yes.
So there you go. Suck on that, Sun Belt.
Yep.
Wow. 600 episodes.
Yeah. So, Heath, briefly, I know that we usually play clips and go over our past 600 episodes. We're not going to do that on this show because we've got an SEC preview show to do. But briefly, give me your top three guests that we've had on over the past 600 episodes, and then we will get to our Missouri preview show.
Nick Fitzgerald comes to mind just yeah. because he was so raw and so open and answered every question so brutally honest, and it was hilarious. Right. He called Dan Mullen a psycho. Dan Mullen's a psychopath. He's just complete psycho, which was hilarious. Told a funny story about Dan Mullen flipping out over someone's socks, a player's socks.
Yeah.
But, you know, Nick Fitzgerald, Nicky Fitz, you know, The quarterback that led SEC in rushing. He's the career rushing leader in the SEC all time
right.
For quarterbacks. So Nicky Fitz talking about that. Wow, Steven, you kind of caught me flat-footed, because we had some fun guests.
Yeah.
You know, we've had some stand-up comedians. We've had some wrestlers.
Yes.
We've had some fun people, but I'm going to try to stick it with football. Man, Steven, you so many great people are going through my mind.
You mean do mine?
Yeah, you do yours while I think about mine.
I will have to go with one that I did recently, Will Rogers. That was a really fun interview that I did about a month ago with Will. I'm also going to do Andy Canizero, the former Mississippi State head coach that you were there for half of that. That was a really good one. And then I'm also going to throw out one that has a tie to Disney, and that was Vince Papala.
Yeah, Vince was a fun guest. He was a fun guest. That's interesting. I always enjoyed Dan coming on the show. Dan had a viral moment with us.
Yes.
I mentioned he was going to call the Egg Bowl game, and ESPN's PR team and everybody got involved in that after a newspaper story picked it up and Ole Miss fans lost their mind.
Yeah.
That was a fun moment. You know what? I've enjoyed talking to our play-by-play guys. Andy Burcham's been a wonderful friend of the show.
Yes.
But, Stephen, we had one former voice of the Crimson Tide, and I really enjoyed that show.
Did you hear the news about Mr. Eli Gold?
I didn't hear the news about Eli.
He is actually moving to TV, as he will be doing all of the play-by-play for the Jacksonville State broadcasts when they go on ESPN Plus this season. So congratulations to Eli Gold on making the move from radio to TV, covering all of Jacksonville State's games when they go on ESPN Plus this fall.
Wow. I'm still shocked how all that went down with Eli Gold.
Yeah.
You know, Eli was a wonderful, a very pleasant guest, and also very open and honest and answered the question so brutally honestly. But here's the one thing about Eli Gold that I didn't expect, and it was just such a pleasant surprise. He was so genuine.
Yeah.
So genuine with his answers and his stories and the humbleness that he shared with us. So, yeah, Eli Gold's definitely up there.
Heath, let's continue the 600th episode, doing what we've been doing all August, and that is our preview shows. Brendan from the Mazodcast is standing by on the other side of this break to do a deep dive into year number 6 of Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri. They're coming off of a 10-win season. How will they do this year? The Missouri preview show shall continue right after this on the 600th edition of the Stingray Show.
Hey, Stephen, a little trivia as we go out the door. October 18th. You know what date that is this year?
No.
That's the first time Mizzou will play on the road. 6 home games and a bye week. Week 8 is their first road game of the year. I know.
Residents of Tuscaloosa, are you guys upsizing, downsizing, looking for college housing, or even relocating for your job right here to Tuscaloosa? If that's the case, then you need to contact Celeste Hagler, owner and operator of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, right here in Tuscaloosa. She can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Reach out to Celeste again at 205-861-5698 and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals and to live where you love in the state of Alabama. It's dinner time, West Alabama, and if you are craving fried catfish with tartar sauce on a grilled bun, or maybe even a fried chicken tender with Swiss cheese, grilled onions, and an avocado spread on French bread, that sandwich is called the Jose, then you need to check out the Coker Market, which is located at the four-way intersection just off County Road 140 in Coker, Alabama. Their hours of operation is Wednesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Go and check out the Coker Market off of County Road 140 there in Coker, Alabama, for community goods and wonderful barbecue. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic. Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Around the area right now, things are looking pretty calm. We're looking pretty much problem-free on the major ways. You're only talking about an 8-minute drive northbound Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard in about 7 minutes. Northbound Lorene Wallace from 15th Street to McFarland Boulevard. As a reminder, we do have long-term road construction, I-20-59 eastbound at Tuscaloosa Colling. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Eddie Francis.
The all-new
For more from Tide 100.9,
let's it fly! And there it.
Whoa. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
Hey Tide fans, looking for something wild right here in Tuscaloosa? Bring the kids, bring your friends, and come to Bama Reptiles and Ranch in Northport. Just minutes from campus, they've got Asian water lizards, tortoises, colorful snakes, and for the horse lovers out there, ranch supplies. They are the cleanest and healthiest reptile store in the state. And their feeders? Best you'll find anywhere. If you mention this Stingray Sports ad, you will get 10% off of your feeders. Remember, Bama Reptiles and Ranch, where exotic meets extraordinary. Welcome back inside the Missouri Preview Show right here on the Stingray Show. And let's go on ahead and do a deeper dive into the Missouri Tigers as Missouri went 10-3 last year overall, 5-3 in the SEC. But they're breaking in a brand new quarterback this year. How will they do? Let's bring on our guest from the Mazad podcast, Brendan. Brendan, how are things with you in Columbia, Missouri, as we sit here just a few weeks away from the college football season?
Doing good. We're excited. It's a year of trepidation, I guess, for Missouri fans, but there's optimism based on what Eli Drinkwitz has done with this program the last couple of years and his ability, seeming ability, to understand and utilize the transfer portal. And so I think things are looking good here in Columbia.
So if you would, talk about the expectation this year for Missouri, especially coming off of a 10-3 season, and there's not many people talking about them nationally right now.
Yeah, and you know, not just a 10-3 season, but back-to-back 10-win seasons for this Tiger program, something that hasn't been accomplished since the days of Gary Pinkel. And so, obviously, Eli Drinkwitz is well-liked right now in Missouri, and there's a lot of faith within him. However, a lot of key pieces to those two 10-win seasons, 10 and 11-win seasons, are gone now, particularly at skill positions that people outside of Missouri probably knew best, such as Brady Cook and Luther Burden and guys like that who are now either in the NFL or vying for a position in the NFL. And Membo, who was a first-round draft pick, so on the defensive side. So on the outside looking in, you think, well, Missouri is due for a downfall. But a lot of Tiger prognosticators look closer to home aren't so pessimistic. And part of the reason why is that we do have, once again, a favorable SEC schedule, if there is such a thing. I mean, when you compare Missouri's SEC schedule, I think it's the 11th or 12th most difficult, near the bottom. But then when you compare it nationally, it's like the 16th most challenging in the country. So that says something about the depth and the strength of the SEC as much as it does about Missouri getting an easier draw, I think. But because compared to some other programs like Florida or LSU or Alabama, they do have an easier schedule. And as I mentioned, the transfer portal has been Eli Drinkwitz's friend. And honestly, the biggest question marks, and I'm sure you're going to ask about this, are that quarterback position. And I think a lot of Missouri fans feel strong about the possibilities of quarterback as they have in years, even after the Brady Cook era. So, you know, I think a lot of folks on the, and another thing is the defense is going to be very strong, and a lot of those folks are back, and a lot of people are projecting the top 20 defense coming out of Mizzou. So while an outsider's look is, I think, justifiably skeptical that Missouri will retain the the level that they've been able to have the last couple of years, there's also reason to have optimism.
You know, Brendan, I've been impressed at what has been happening through the portal there in Columbia. Been very impressed with it. You picked up a big-time wide receiver from Mississippi State. You picked up a quarterback from Penn State. It looks like you got some offensive pieces. But the one thing that I am so impressed with, and you also picked up a wonderful running back, but the one thing I've been most impressed with is going to be this running game coming into this season. I think this will be the best running game in the SEC. Am I wrong thinking that?
Well, there are certainly very high expectations for Ahmad Hardy, who's coming in and, as I like said, as a transfer out of the Sun Belt and had, you know, 1,300 yards rushing and 13 touchdowns last year. And from what we're seeing in camp, the coaching staff is thrilled. I mean, he's apparently everything advertised and more. So certainly he is a dog when it comes to running the football. And the offensive line is pretty stable with one big question mark, and that is the left tackle position, which there has been a battle for. And, you know, that has been a position where it's the only thing up for grabs. Javon Richardson was there last year. He did okay, got some PT, but they went into the transfer portal and got West Virginia transfer named Johnny Williams IV. And I think the expectation was that he was going to be the starter and take Richardson's spot. Like, the coaching staff didn't think Richardson was going to be the starter this year. Well, they've been battling it out in camp, and it looks like maybe neither of them were going to be the left tackle position. Instead, we've got our former five-star recruit, Caden Green, who's a preseason All-SEC player and had been is naturally at the guard position, is now taking reps at left tackle. So what that kind of tells me is maybe Richardson nor Williams was impressing enough, and they're going to move Caden Green out, which Green is so talented, he will do fine, but you're moving what is going to be possibly an All-American left guard to a different position. So that being said, everything else is set, and with when you have a line in place and you've got a strong running back, and not for nothing, if Bo Pribula, the Penn State quarterback you referenced earlier, who is a natural runner, is the starting quarterback, and even though it hasn't been named yet, you've got a lot of running options, and you've got a wall in front of them that can make that offensive running game very stout. So there is certainly the potential for that to be the case, what you're saying. But with everything in Missouri this year, because of the changeover and some of those skill positions being gone, the proof will be in the pudding. We'll see, you know. But certainly the depth and the talent level that Missouri is putting on the field is I feel like they've stepped it up to another level. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to confuse them with Alabama or Georgia or LSU, but they're certainly not in the lower tier and the talent pool that they once played in. I mean, I think that, you know, people made comparisons to Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. And frankly, the last few years, Missouri has played above that reputation. I don't know if they'll ever shake the reputation, and they may fall back down, but golly, the running game looks strong, and as I mentioned, so does that defense.
Brendan of the Mazodcast is our guest this evening on the Missouri Preview Show. And Brendan, let's go on ahead and talk about the guy who is going to replace Brady Cook. How does the quarterback position look for Missouri?
Yeah, and it is very clear that Eli Drinkwitz has no intention of naming the starting quarterback until right before the season. And even in that first game, you know, I think both quarterbacks are going to see snaps. But we do know from past experience that once Eli Drinkwitz picks a guy, he sticks with that guy. And so what you've got is redshirt junior Sam Horn, four-star recruit out of Georgia, who has split time as a football player but also a baseball player. In fact, he was out most of last season with a Tommy John problem, that he incurred during the baseball season. But he's got a strong arm. He throws a pretty ball. And when Brady Cook was sort of in his lower down times, there were lots of fan calls. Let's see Sam Horn. Well, we didn't even know if he'd be back. He was just drafted in the 17th. I can't remember. He was drafted by the Los Angeles Dodgers, and we didn't know if he was going to even be on this team. But he stuck around, and he is going up against Bo Pribula from Penn State, who was a very impressive thrower and, as well as I mentioned, a runner. So neither of those guys, according to Eli Drinkwitz, has shown any real separation at this point. Of course, that could be just coach speak to motivate those guys. They've got another kid named Zollers, who's a true freshman, who is very much likely not to be the starter, but he throws a beautiful ball. You know, he's a highly touted recruit, and if he sticks around, which is always a big question mark in this day and age, I guess what I'm getting at is I don't know who the starting quarterback would be. I'm putting my money on Pribula, but I think Missouri fans have as much feeling. They feel as good about their backup and third string quarterback as they have in I don't know how long. I mean, the idea last couple of years when we had such good seasons is that Brady Cook got hurt, we were out of luck. You know, the backups were a dramatic fall off from Brady Cook. And we did see that, specifically in the Alabama game. Cook got hurt at the worst possible time in the season, and Missouri just weren't even in that game. And the backup threw I can't remember how many interceptions in that game. He just wasn't ready, right? Especially wasn't ready to step into the starting role against Alabama. Right. This year, if Pribula is the starter and he gets hurt, Sam Horn, people have confidence in, and vice versa. And even if it comes down to Matt Zollers, the true freshman, he's got a lot to learn. He's young, but he's a true quarterback. So we're not going to know for sure probably until week two, that Kansas game at home. But like I said, my money's on Pribula. They paid a lot of money in the portal to get him. That doesn't guarantee a spot on the roster. People are going to want to the coaching staff is going to want to play the guy who performs the best, not the one that's getting paid the most. But I think he's likely to be the starter. But if it's Sam Horn, I've got confidence in that as well. I got kids upstairs. I'm sure you're hearing all of that.
You're fine, dude. All right. So, Brendan, hold that thought. We are up against... What in the world?
They're throwing crayons down the stairs. They know I'm down here, and they're trying to ruin my day.
I got you.
Three-year-old, man. Three-year-olds.
That's funny. So, Brendan, hold that thought. We are up against another break, and when we come back, we are going to dive into the wide receiver position a little bit more and then get to the defense. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. The Missouri Preview Show will continue right after this. Through August the 19th, these amazing deals are going on at South's Finest Meats, including one dozen of Grade A extra large eggs, $3.38. Crinkle cut fries, which is a 5-pound bag, $6.96. 30 count of Southern style Pillsbury biscuits at $9.49, and a 14 count of corn dogs, $8.45. They also have great deals on chicken, pork, seafood, Ziegler products, and of course, beef. You can find them at 3201 10th Avenue right there in Tuscaloosa. Go by there today and check out all of their specials that run through August the 19th. Hey, you. Looking to upgrade your ride? Alabama One has you covered with auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and the best part, no payments for 90 days. That's right. Buy or refinance and keep the cash in your pocket while you drive the ride you want. But hurry, this limited time offer ends October the 31st. You can apply today at alabamaone.org or by calling 1-800-225-0110. Once again, auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and no payments for 90 days. Remember, Alabama One, one together.
Follow Tide 100.9 on Facebook today to watch our live shows, read the great articles, and interact with Bama fans today.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. My guest this evening is Brendan of the Mazodcast, as we are doing our preview of the Missouri Tigers, who are coming off of a 10-3 record a year ago. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about the running back room and then the quarterbacks and how they're going to do without Brady Cook this year, who has moved on. And Brendan, let's go on ahead and talk about the wide receivers. How is Missouri going to replace Luther Burden III?
So Luther Burden is a talent that Missouri, the likes of which Missouri is not accustomed to. But if you look at Missouri's offense last year, despite their record, their offense was not prodigious. Luther Burden had a worse year last year than he did the year before. I think he'll be just fine, but the offense sputtered at times. And despite having talent like him and Theo Weiss, who was often overlooked, but an incredible talent, I think having a more natural ball thrower than Brady Cook, like Privula behind the center, and a pretty good army of guys to come in behind him, particularly in my mind, a guy like Josh Manning, who caught some amazing passes last year, Marquise Johnson, and then the transfer from Mississippi State, you mentioned, yep, Kevin Coleman Jr.
Yep.
I think it's not going to be one star guy, but a roster of wide receivers who are incredibly talented. And then you throw in the tight end Brett Norfleet, who's on the Mackey watch list. It's even better in a way, because you could always double up or put a spy on Luther Burden. You can't do that when there's four guys who are great pass catchers. And so a lot of folks don't see a lot of, you might think you lose Luther Burden, you're going to be scared, but they've got real talent stepping up in his place. And like I said, they're going to spread the ball around a lot more. Very, you know, between Brady Cook maybe not having the best field vision when he's passing and looking for one or two guys, and then just having more weapons at Privula or Horn's disposal, I think things are going to be just fine in the passing game. And then you add in what we talked about earlier, which is the very strong running game, which is always an asset to the wide receiving core. So I think I think we may see an uptick in receptions and yardage and touchdowns from this receiving core over last year. And keep in mind, that's not really that impressive, because Missouri's wide receiver stats weren't that impressive last year, despite having some NFL talent on the roster.
Right.
You know, Brendan, looking at the Missouri offense, other than left tackle, as you mentioned, what's the biggest concern? What's the biggest concern you got about this? Is it going to be stretching the field? Is it sideline to sideline? Is it a position group? Is it whatever it might be, you know, quarterback play, whatever? What's the biggest concern other than left tackle that you get with this offense?
Well, I think you have to say the fact that we're coming into the season and we don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be. Even though I'm confident in the guys who are vying for that position, when we had Brady Cook coming back last year, we had a known commodity. He was not just the starting quarterback, but he was the leader of this team. He was the cultural epicenter of this team, and he's gone. And so the new quarterback, whoever it's going to be, is not only going to have to learn to become a starting quarterback in the SEC right out of the gate, but he's also going to have to learn how to lead. And so I do think that's an advantage Sam Horn has, because he's been with this program a long while. But there are other things one can be concerned about. But I think it's just the fact that while good talent is coming in, they are untested. Same at that wide receiver position. I have confidence. But Luther Burden, Theo Weiss, those guys knew how to play football in the SEC. And some of these new guys, they're coming in raw. And maybe not raw. They're transfers and things, or they've had a year or two, but they haven't been in the star highlight position. So I think you got to say, anytime a team is coming in without a starting quarterback coming into week one, that's going to be concern number one. But honestly, it's a very well-rounded offense when you compare it to last year, where you had very talented skill players and then some weak spots all around them. This year, we may not have billboard marquee names, but you're going to have a much higher level of overall talent on the offense. And so, I mean, if I'm asked that question, I got to say quarterback.
Okay.
So, Brendan, when we look at the other side of the football, the defense for Missouri, you said earlier that it was going to be very, very strong. Talk about the defensive side of the football and break that down for us going into this season for Missouri.
Yeah, so I think it starts with defensive coordinator Corey Batoon, who got an extension this year after having a top 20 defensive season last year. And the expectation is the team is going to be deeper and it's going to be faster than he had in year one. They did go into the portal. They got an edge in Damon Wilson second out of Georgia, got a linebacker, Josiah Trotter, who was the defensive freshman of the year out of West Virginia. Jalen Catalan is another safety that's come in, and he's a headline newcomer. And then we got the returning staff like defensive end Zion Young, Chris McKellen at defensive tackle, Dalen Carnell at defensive back. All of these guys have lots of experience and provide an incredible spine for this defense and make it possible to replace NFL players. So you got Johnny Walker Jr. He was off to the Broncos, you know, and Joe Moore's moving on. So anyway, some of these guys, in line, like the linebackers, Tristan Newsome, they're going to be back. And so I feel like the line, the defensive line is strong, the linebacking core is experienced, and then you got your secondary who has a lot of depth and a lot of experience as well. So it's really a similar story to the offense, but I think even more so on the defensive side of the ball because they have so many more returners on the defensive side of the ball at each of the three levels of defense. So, you know, some of the guys that made names for themselves on the defensive side last year are just going to get more opportunities. And then they're, but it's the same questions as the offense, I guess, because we've got a lot of talent coming in the transfer portal, and Missouri is not alone in that, but you never know what transfers are going to bring. Some are all world and some take a year to get going and they're out of eligibility. So, right. But I think the confidence is both out of the experience and the depth, but also the trust in Corey Batoon, who came out of the gate and has been one of Eli Drinkwitz's best hires in the coaching staff.
So, Brendan, if you would, talk about where the biggest concern is on this defense moving into the 25 season.
Yeah, I think that if I had to, I don't have a lot of concern, to be honest.
Okay.
But if I had to name something, it would be the edge rushers just not having as much experience as some of the other players on the team. And I feel like that's, in my mind, if I'm building a defense, this is where I start, because I feel like you disrupt the offensive line, you disrupt the quarterback, you've disrupted everything, and you've made everybody else on the defense's job easier. I feel like Missouri has put together really solid secondary play the last couple of years, with possibly one exception, where we had a guy who was, I won't even talk about it. He was getting burned on deep passes left and right. He just bit all the time on pass fakes. And so Missouri gave up a lot of chunk plays out of one position.
Right.
And that's going to be, I'm sure, fixed up. But the edge rushers are talented, but new. So that's where I would say, like, wait and see.
Right.
But if they are performing at the level of expectation, like Zion Young, I think he's going to be a good defensive end. If those guys live up to expectation, then, and like I said, the Georgia recruit Wilson, if they can do what is expected of them, I think SEC teams are going to be surprised how good Missouri is on defense.
So Heath, go ahead and ask your question that you've asked everybody else to this point about the offense and the defense for Missouri.
No, I'm not going to do it today. I'm just joking. Brendan, I've been asking all the beat writers and everyone that's joined us so far, if you had to guess where this Missouri offense is going to finish at the end of the season, is it going to be in the top half of the SEC or in the bottom half? Total team offense, do you think Missouri will be in the top half of the SEC or bottom half?
Yeah, so my default answer on any given season is usually what Missouri falls in, not just in football, but in every statistic in the world, which is right in the middle.
Yes.
But this year, because of what I think is going to be, and you alluded to it too, it is a breakout running game on top of improved receiving position, receiving yards. I think we could finish in the top half of the SEC. Maybe not the the lower half of the top half, but you know, the last two out of the last 3 years, Eli Drinkwitz's offense have produced the best running yard totals in the history of the program. Tyler Beatty 3 years ago set a record for single season rushing with over 1,600 yards rushing, and then after that, Cody Schrader broke his record. So Eli Drinkwitz has shown he knows how to produce a running game. And the talk about Ahmad Hardy, the hype is so high that he alone could put Missouri in the top half of the SEC offensive totals.
What about the defense? You put them in the top half or bottom half? You said there weren't any concerns. Is this going to be one of the better defensive teams?
I think this is going to surprise people. I think Missouri's defense is going to – Missouri's advantage, if they have one in this conference, is that they're just put in a box every year. You know, they're not a cultural fit. They're not a geographical fit. Their stadium seats 65,000 instead of 105,000. You know, they're not wearing sundresses and suits to the game. They're wearing shorts and sweatshirts. They don't fit. Missouri doesn't belong here. And that makes it very easy to write off Missouri. But we've shown time and time again that while all of that may be true, they've invested incredible resources into this football program. And so that when we do have a quality defense like we're going to, even the football programs who we go up against who know what we are, still have a tendency to underlook it or, you know, to underrate us.
You know, we're up against a break, and Stephen's going to take us to break here real quick. But to touch on what you said, Brendan, and no, we're not going to do a deep dive on this, and we're not even going to talk about it. That's why I mentioned it for a break. I think when Missouri came in the conference and they won the East 2 years in a row right off the bat, but then it had all that crazy political drama on campus, and then it was followed by some really bad football the 2 years after that, I think that kind of put Mizzou in a box, and no one ever checked to take him out. You put the dog on the chain on the outside, and you never went and checked on him. And I think that's where Mizzou has been from other SEC viewpoints. But I am totally with you. Missouri consistently has been really good here the past 5-6 years, and I think they're going to be even better this year.
So, I'm Brendan, hopeful. Go ahead. What'd you say?
I said I'm hopeful. I love hearing it.
So, Brendan, we've talked about all of the positions. Now let's get to the expectations for Missouri and the schedule. That's what we're going to do on the last segment of the Stingray Show right after this break. We're going to get a prediction on how you think Missouri is going to do in 2025. You're listening to the Stingray Show. The Missouri Preview Show will finish up right after this.
Coming up on the game with Ryan Fowler.
Second scrimmage, we'll do that with Drew DeArmond. We'll talk about it with Mark Houston right here on the Monday edition of the game. Starting at 2 p.m. on Tide. Drew DeArmond. We'll talk about it with Mark Houston right here on the Monday edition of the game. Starting at 2 p.m. on Tide. Alabama Crimson Tide. 100.9, 1230. WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again, at 205-799-0192 to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. As we take a look around the area right now, we are looking pretty much problem-free on the major ways. Eastbound 2059 from 359 to Cottondale. No delays on the drive. About 7 minutes is what you got. Northbound Highway 69 from McFarland Boulevard to Mid-Larry Road. No delays there. Northbound Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard. Almost 10 minutes on that drive. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Eddie Francis.
Find Tide on Twitter at Tide109 to keep up with show announcements, guests, and our reporters in the field.
Hey Tide fans, looking for something wild right here in Tuscaloosa? Bring the kids, bring your friends, and come to Bama Reptiles and Ranch in Northport. Just minutes from campus, they've got Asian water lizards, tortoises, colorful snakes, and for the horse lovers out there, ranch supplies. They are the cleanest and healthiest reptile store in the state. And their feeders? Best you'll find anywhere. If you mention this Stingray Sports ad, you will get 10% off of your feeders. Remember, Bama Reptiles and Ranch, where exotic meets extraordinary. Welcome back inside the Stingray Show, our Missouri preview show. Our guest this evening is Brendan from the Mazodcast. And Brendan, ever since Missouri has gotten into the SEC, the SEC has tried to manufacture a rivalry between Missouri and Arkansas, and that's kind of not really worked out. However, the traditional rival for Missouri is back on the schedule this year, the Jayhawks of Kansas. Talk about the excitement and the hype getting to the Kansas game, going back on the schedule for Missouri.
Yeah, this is a big deal. I don't think people in the SEC realize how big a deal it is. It goes back to the Civil War, the border war that was a skirmish, border skirmish that happened prior to the Civil War, and Missouri and Kansas fans still reference their rivalry back to that time. They have not played each other since Missouri joined the SEC. Kansas has been scared of us, and they've claimed that it's because they're pouting because we left the Big 12, but it's really because they'd lose every year. And they finally have gotten over that butt hurt, and they're coming to Missouri to play this year. It is it's sold out immediately. In fact, this whole season, the hype is high. I think there's like 500 seats left for the first game, and that's it. There's no seats available for most of the season. But this Kansas game was the first one to sell out. I was fortunate. I wrote a book about the 1960 Missouri team, which I argued was the national champions. That was a strange year. Missouri and Kansas had a game that Missouri claims as a victory and Kansas claims as a victory. Kansas won on the field with a knowingly illegally recruited player and claimed the victory. The NCAA then forfeited that game, and Missouri would have had an undefeated season. But the actual athletic department has called me, and the remaining surviving players of that 1960 team invited us back to be honored at that Kansas game, frankly, to rub salt in the wound to this Kansas team. What's going to happen is a generation of Tigers fans and college students who don't even really understand this rivalry either are going to get a eye-opening experience when Kansas comes to town, because the anybody over 35 definitely hates the Jayhawks. Right. And basketball, we've seen it, but football, I'm very excited for this to come back. And I think people will say, well, like, Missouri and Kansas, not exactly football powerhouses, but the passion and the hatred is as strong in this rivalry as any rivalry, regardless of the national champions in football, that championships in football either of us may have. And that's what makes college football great, because of these kinds of rivalries. So I am stoked about that.
Yes. Brendan, going over this schedule very quickly, I love that you guys have got a Thursday night game. Looks like you got Central Arkansas, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. And then it's that Kansas game. So you get like a week and a half to prepare for Kansas, which that tickles me. Then you got the Raging Cajuns. Yep. And then it's Big Bad South Carolina. And that might be the quickest game of the SEC this year, just because I think both of you guys are going to keep the ball on the ground and the clock's going to keep running. You get to recuperate the next week with UMass. Then you get an off week. Bama, Auburn, Vanderbilt is a little three-game stretch there. You get another off week. And then you got A&M, State, and Oklahoma. And then you wrap up with Arkansas. So with all that, do you like how the schedule comes about and with the bye weeks? Because the one thing that just raised a small eyebrow, and it wasn't a huge concern, is you basically get two off weeks in a five-week span.
Yeah. Yeah, and one aspect of that schedule you didn't mention was, if you look at the start of that season, we start the schedule with six consecutive home games.
Yes.
And eight home games overall. So that's something we're happy about, right? I do like the way it lays out, particularly when you look at the South Carolina game, because South Carolina rightfully has a lot of expectations this year. But honestly, and people may really dog on me for saying this, I worry more about the Vanderbilt game than I do the South Carolina game. And I'll tell you why. Missouri, people don't remember this, but South Carolina took a last-minute, last-ditch effort to win that game. Luther Burden would have put his... It would have been the golden stamp on his college career at Mizzou if that last touchdown would have stood. But it took everything South Carolina had to beat Missouri last year. And I think Missouri's got a better team this year. And we're playing them at home. And that has seemed to matter when we played South Carolina. We talk about the manufactured rivalry against Arkansas. I think there is a real rivalry, whether the folks in the other Columbia, the lesser Columbia, would admit it or not, against South Carolina. We're two programs. Again, they wouldn't want to admit this, but we've had similar levels of success and failure. And if Missouri can pull off a win, which would be an upset against South Carolina, it's a fork in the road for this season for the Tigers. If they go into that Alabama game 5-0, assuming that there's victories the rest of the way, I don't think Missouri's going to be picked to win that game. But it will be looked at much differently than if we lose against South Carolina. So, you know, I look at that schedule and I think the hardest road we have is middle of October, Alabama, Auburn, Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is just, we all know what Vanderbilt is this year with Diego Pavia. They can sneak up and bite anybody, and Alabama fans know that better than anybody. So that is, and it's on the road. Auburn's on the road. I am licking my chops a little bit about that game as well. Alabama, I think, is a guaranteed loss. But then the fourth game in that brutal stretch for us is A&M. And that's a home game for Missouri. And it's been a while, but people don't remember this. But we have played Texas A&M for a long time, because they came into this league at the same time Missouri did, from the Big 12. I think people seem to think A&M has been in the SEC for 30 years before Mizzou. But it was the same year. Right. And we gave as good as we got with A&M. In fact, the year we did go to the East the first time in 2013, it was by beating Johnny Manziel's Texas A&M team here at home in the final game of the season. So we're not afraid of Texas A&M. And then we've got Mississippi State, and then we're going to go back to Oklahoma, who I know is going to be out for blood because we beat them with that terrible backup quarterback last year. And then Arkansas is our guaranteed win every year. It's not a rivalry because they're just a lesser school, lesser town, lesser state, and just, you know, lesser people, subhuman. So anyway, we're gonna win that one, obviously.
So Brendan, to wrap this up, Missouri went 10-3 last year, 5-3 in conference. How many games do you have them winning this season?
Yeah, so I am optimistically looking at this being a 9-win season for the Tigers. I think with all the changes, it is only natural for fans to, or for media folks to find there to be a letdown coming. And you see that where Missouri is not highly ranked. They're not in the top 25 in anybody's picks. And that's, Missouri fans may complain about that, but that makes sense. Until this team has proven itself to be as good as last year or the year before, there's no reason to think they will be. So I'm going to be 9-3 because I do think they're going to surprise some folks, but they're probably not going to live up to the expectations they have the last couple of years.
So, Brendan, look, man, thank you for taking time to join us this evening. Really do want to thank you. Enjoy covering the last few little bit of the preseason for Missouri, as we say, before the season gets here on that Thursday night of Labor Day weekend when they take on Central Arkansas, and we would love to catch up with you during the season to continue to talk about the MIZZOU.
I love it. All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Take care, Brendan. Have a great weekend.
You too. I better check on them boys.
Yes.
Watch out for flying crayons.
All right, so Heath, that is going to put a wrap on the MIZZOU Mizzou preview show. Hope you guys thoroughly enjoyed that. When we come back on Monday evening, this is our schedule for next week. It is going to be the Ole Miss preview show on Monday. LSU will be Tuesday. Roll Tide of Alabama on Wednesday. And Tennessee on Thursday. And then we will wrap up the following week with Georgia and then Texas. So that is the remainder of the preview shows on the Stingray Show. And like I said, Monday is Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, how they're going to do in 2025. Have a wonderful weekend out there as the temperatures are going to go back up and the rain chances are going to go down here in West Alabama. It is going to be a scorcher out there. Stay cool. Have a wonderful weekend. And we are 1 weekend away from college football beginning. And we will see you on Monday.
Wow, that was quite impressive, Stephen. You covered weather, you covered sports, you gave a little PSA of staying out of trouble. Look at you, man. Well-rounded.
Hey, it's the fun Friday edition of the Stingray Show. You never know what you're going to get.
Nope, it's the Fried Bologna Friday edition of the Stingray Show.
Yep.
Fried Bologna.
Hey, by the way, real quick, before we get out of here, did you have any fried chicken last night after the Gamecock show?
No, I did have some fish tacos, but I really wanted to, man. I had to do some stuff with my football team, and after that, after practice, my wife wanted Mexican, my kids wanted Mexican, and yeah, fish tacos it was.
Mexican places have a chicken. Come on, now it's pollo.
Yeah, but it ain't Cajun-style chicken.
Yeah.